So we're on our series called The Parables of Jesus. This is part three, and we're going to be talking about the Good Samaritan today. The Good Samaritan. And that's a passage that we're going to look at in Luke chapter 10, but it talks about being a good neighbor, and to me it talks about love and action. What does that look like? So what does it mean to be a good neighbor? You know, become a State Farm representative? Is that, you know, maybe what a guy needs to do to be a good neighbor? I don't know. But to God, it's more than just living next door to someone. It's we're going to learn today at what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, and what that actually looks like. And the parable of the Good Samaritan is about love and action. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. And it says here that Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when they saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, and when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came up on him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will return and repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers' hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here. We thank you, Lord, for just signs and wonders just to be manifest in each of our lives. Lord, we thank you for the power of love that is working, Lord. We know that God is love, and Lord, that we need to walk in that kind of love. Lord, right now I yield to the gift that you put inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we see the setup for this, okay? Jesus replied to something. Something was said, and that made him have this conversation. And the conversation was between him and a lawyer. And how many like to talk to a lawyer every now and then? Hopefully none of us too much. But anyway, he's a different kind of lawyer. I'm going to go into that. But Jesus replied to that. And the lawyer, what he was wanting to do, he was trying to test Jesus and kind of show him up a little bit, because he knew a lot about Scripture. And the lawyer wanted to test him as well as to justify himself, both to Jesus as well as to the crowd that was around, that was listening to him. Now, the lawyer come up to Jesus, and he said to him, "You know, how do I inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a good question, isn't it? That's a question that's probably on many people's minds and lives from time to time. You know, when you think about the afterlife, you know, maybe you've attended a funeral or something like that, and all of a sudden these things kind of crop up in your mind, and the lawyer was asking that. And what Jesus did, now this lawyer wasn't the kind of lawyer that you and I are thinking about. This lawyer was actually an expert in Mosaic law, meaning he knew what the Old Testament said. That was his specialty. You know, he was very good at this. So he kind of knew the answer, or what he thought the answer was. But Jesus, what he did, instead of answering him, he turned the tables. He asked him a question. That's a good technique sometimes to use when you're in a kind of a debate or things like this. Because what he was wanting to do is he asked what is written in the law. And then he said, "How do you read it?" Meaning, what does that mean to you? Jesus was trying to locate his heart. And that's a lot of times what God does in your and my life. And he does it through the Word of God, or maybe through preaching, or maybe conversations with other people. Sometimes things will come up, and he wants to locate our heart, because it's very important where our heart is. Because from our heart, the Bible says, flows the issues of life. And so that's so important. And then the lawyer, what he did, he thought he was kind of a smart aleck, but he had a good answer. He quoted a very familiar Old Testament passage that says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your strength, and your mind. Then he said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Very good answer. You know, Jesus actually used this same passage from time to time in his preaching. And maybe the lawyer had heard Jesus before talk about this. I don't know. But this is a very common answer for that. And it's the right answer. But, you know, what happened, you know, the important thing is that, you know, the lawyer then was kind of a smart aleck. And then he said, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Because what he quoted was actually saying, we're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love people. And this is one that sometimes we struggle with. We're supposed to love ourselves. Some people do love themselves too much, I know that. But for the most part, there's a high percentage of the population that struggles with loving themselves. They just don't think they're good enough. And God said it's healthy to love yourself, not above other people, but you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself to make it equality. Of this kind of love, the love that we're going to be talking about here. So the lawyer went into this and then he said, who is my neighbor? And he thought maybe since he loved God, he was okay. And he didn't really have to put much emphasis on the neighbor part. I mean, if you really think about it, who are you supposed to love more? God or your neighbor? You know? I mean, we're supposed to love God first. But he thought he could skate maybe a little bit. By getting the God part down, there's a lot of people that say they love God, but they struggle with loving other people and walking in that God kind of love. So he was trying to get that out there. And then sadly, the lawyer, what he did here, he asked the wrong question. Sometimes the right question makes all the difference, right? If you're wanting to get some business done, a lot of times people beat around the bush and they ask the wrong questions. You have to ask the right question. And what the right question, instead of asking how he could, he should have asked, you know, how instead of walking that kind of love, he punted and tried to justify himself. He should have said, Lord Jesus, how do I walk in that kind of love where I can love my neighbor like that? But he didn't ask that. He just said, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus then, he went into this and he was going to explain a little bit about it, and he used some very good analogies that you and I are going to break down here. And see, the lawyer knew about love, but he had no idea what love really looked like. How many's read the Bible and what the Bible talks about love, but deep down inside, maybe we've never really experienced that kind of love? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just amazing. When you really see what God says about love, and maybe you were raised in a situation where love wasn't really a common thread in your family communications. You know what I'm saying? They loved you, but they didn't express it right. You knew they loved you, but they didn't show it very well. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's sometimes the kind of relationships that you and I can get into is when we know about love, but we've never really experienced. And that's the same way when it talks about salvation and things like that. You know, we maybe know that Jesus died on a cross. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. But deep down inside, we've never really experienced that. And see, God wants us to be able to walk in experiential love, the kind of love that he wants us to have. Because, you know, I know we go by faith and not by feelings, but sometimes it's good to have a feeling, isn't it? The right kind of feeling. Not the feeling of fear, but the love. Because perfect love, what does it do? It casts out that fear. And that's the kind of love that God wants you and I to have. And we need to embrace it and try to get into that. And what it was is that the lawyer was looking for an answer that expressed love without limits, or love with limits. That's right. He was looking for to find an answer that love with limits, because you and I know what limiting love is. I'll love you if you love me. You do this for me, and yes, I will love you. But if you don't do this for me, I won't love you. But see, God wants you and I to walk in a love that doesn't have any limits. It's the God kind of love. It's limitless love. And it can go beyond more than we could ever ask or think. So the lawyer, what he was doing, that he really was trying to say, it's okay to love God or good people, but maybe not people who he deemed not worthy of love. And see, we have to get beyond that, because everybody on God's planet is worthy of love, because the Bible says God so loved. You know, God loves everyone, even people that we don't love. And we just have to get around that. We just have to accept that, because that's the kind of love that God wants to do. And then we start to walk in that. And so what Jesus did, he looked right into the lawyer's heart, and he had that ability to do so. And he was going to tell a parable about a situation dealing with love. And what he was going to do is make the Samaritan out to be a good guy while exposing the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, or so-called good people, of which he was one. You don't go around, I mean, these guys had to learn, you don't go around challenging Jesus on the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? He was the Word of God. He knew the Word because he was the Word. Now, a little about Samaritans, as many of you know, is that the Jewish people despised them. Because what they were, it was the Jews that when they came down to settle, they didn't come across the Jordan. And the Samaritans were Jews that had married outside cultures. So it was a mixture. And the Jewish people, the straight Jewish people, how they looked at themselves, they looked down upon those people and despised them. They had a prejudice in their heart. And that's what, you know, and any Jewish person, when they heard the word Samaritan, they just bristled. You know what I mean? They just looked down upon them because they weren't the ones, because they felt they didn't really obey. And then there's just a big debate between them, how to serve God and all this. This is a big deal. Now, a little bit of background about where this happened. The road that comes from Jerusalem to Jericho descends about 3,000 feet. That's a pretty good little sprinkle, isn't it? A 3,000-foot drop, and it did so in about 17 miles. So I suppose it'd be better to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. Could you imagine going the other way? That'd be a workout, wouldn't it? But what happened was, this road, along it, there was a lot of rocks and crevices. And so what would happen along this road, robbers would hide. And then when they saw somebody, especially traveling alone, they would come out and they would rob from them. So this was considered a very dangerous road to go down. And so what we see in this story is that this man had been traveling alone, and these robbers had come out and they beat him, they stripped him, and they left him half dead. And there he was, just laying there in a pile on the road. And the story picks up talking about, first, a priest came, and the priest and a Levite was coming from Jerusalem, and they were probably coming from their temple duties. I mean, a little bit of background about them. The priest was actually of the tribe of Levi. You had to be from the tribe of Levi to be into the ministry around the temple. But then the priests, they were descendants of Aaron, and Aaron was a chosen line. And them guys are the ones who offered up maybe the sacrifices. They could actually go into the tent of meeting, you know, the holy place, and they could eat the bread, the show bread, and things like that. And they could kind of really feel close to God. You know what I'm saying? They were kind of chosen to be able to do that duty. And so, as well as the priest, the other guy that came was a Levite. A Levite was also of that tribe, but they weren't of Aaron's line. And their job was they did the menial tasks around the temple. Okay? They did kind of whatever needs done. So these were the two people coming from Jerusalem. And when they came down, they didn't even stop to look. It's kind of insinuates. And they just walked to the other side of the road and looked the other way. Why? Why would they do that? You know, maybe a couple things, and these are some attitudes that you and I can get. You know, see the priest and the Levite are coming from a place where they should have been filled full of God, but sadly they were just full of themselves. And that's how we can get sometimes. Maybe they felt like they were off duty and they've already been serving people all day in the temple. So I'm off duty right now. Are we off duty Christians? I don't know. Do we ever get off duty? You know, maybe they felt God allowed this man to fall into this, because some of them really believe that, you know, God was behind everything, kind of what we call a Calvinistic viewpoint in some ways, where, you know, if this guy got robbed and beaten, it was God's will. You know, who am I to intervene in God's will? See, they don't understand there's bad people and bad devil out there, you know, wanting to do things because they maybe thought he deserved it. And maybe they supposed to love other people, they could not show love to a man in desperate need. They knew they were supposed to love, but this guy, maybe because all the things came up on him, they couldn't really love him. And that's what's hard for us to get our head around as we read this story. Now, we're going to look at the Samaritan, which I call love in action, because it's important that love has action. We can talk about how much we love other people all we want. And confession is a start, right? Sometimes you got to talk yourself into things, correct? Some things. But, you know, like always said when, you know, me and the missus maybe weren't getting along too. Oh, she's up there. I forgot. I thought she was gone. Back in the old days, I haven't had to do this for a long time because she's just an angel now. But anyway, back in the old days, I used to have to say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. How often did you have to do that, Pastor Brad? Till I believed it. And no telling what she had to say about me. I ain't going to ask her that one. You know, but sometimes you start with your mouth and it, you know, expressing faith and it works. But love, you know, you can't do that. If you're in love, you know, you have to have some action behind it. And so here came this Samaritan man. And when Jesus told this story, I bet them guys, they're Samaritan. And so, see, as the Samaritan was looked down, he'd been, you know, dealing with Jews all of his life. How he was oppressed by them. How he was looked down upon. How he was, you know, shunned. And you know what that's like when you feel that people aren't receiving you or people aren't accepting you. Maybe you've never experienced that, but I have. When you just weren't accepted. And so he come across this person and he could have easily said, you know, why should I get involved this, you know, with people who maybe don't accept me? But he looked beyond that. He looked beyond that. Because we have to do that. See, Samaritan man, what he did, what's unique about him is the fact that he had something working inside of him. And I pray that we all get this. He had compassion. Compassion is a superpower. As a matter of fact, if you really look in the Bible and study the Gospels, Jesus Christ, more times than not, was moved by compassion when he stepped into somebody's mess. and brought a miracle to their life. He operated by compassion. So that's what you and I need to try to tap into. So what does this love that we're talking about, what does this kind of look like in our life? You know, what do we do? What we see from the Good Samaritan, what he had to do. Number one, love takes risks. The Good Samaritan, what he did is he stopped along the road, this dangerous road, and it infers he was traveling all by himself also. He could have been just as vulnerable as the man who was beaten already. He could have just passed on by and didn't want to get involved, don't want to get, you know, hurt himself. But he stopped and he took a risk and he spent some time helping this guy, helping a stranger, somebody who didn't even know, to make a difference in his life. Also, love, this kind of love takes time. As he stopped along that dangerous road, he took the time and he bandaged up his wounds. He could have just threw him on his donkey and let's get out of here. No, he took time to minister to the person. He wrapped him with bandages. He poured in the oil and the wine, which is a symbol. When you pour in the oil, it brings kind of a soothing power to the body. And oil has a little bit of alcohol in it, and it was an antiseptic. And was able to maybe clean the wounds in a proper way. So he took time and he did these things and just to minister to this man, to make sure the man was going to be okay. And then love is inconvenient sometimes when we get involved in people's lives. Here he was riding on his own donkey probably and heading to where he wanted to go. It said he was on a journey. Remember that? So he was going somewhere. The priest and the Levite was probably just going home. You know what I mean? They were just heading home probably. But this Samaritan was on a journey. He was actually going somewhere. But he stopped and took time out of his schedule. And then the inconvenience is that he took the man and he put upon his beast and then he walked himself so he could carry the man to a place where he could find shelter and help. That's what love does. Love, sometimes we're willing to inconvenience ourselves, to do something that maybe is not the most favorite thing we want to do, but we do it anyway. Next is one is that love can be costly. You know, when you look at this, it kind of escapes us. It says he took out 2 denarii. Many of you may know a denarii is all you make in one day. So you know how much you make. He took 2 days of his wages and he gave it to the innkeeper. And then he said, even if you need more, I'll be back. I'll pay more if I have to. How many of us would probably take 2 days of our wages and help a stranger? That's a big ask, isn't it? That's a big ask. But that's kind of what love looks like. And then lastly, love follows through. Love follows through. You know, a lot of times we're, you know, with our busy culture, we may take the time to stop. And then we may take the time to clean him up and get him all ready. And we may throw him on our ride. And then we may take him to an inn and pay some money. But would we come back to check on him? You know, the Samaritan come back. He says, I'm going to follow up on you. I'm going to make sure you're okay. I'm going to see you through to the end. And that's kind of what love is. Love covers all the bases. And that's the kind of love. Remember, this guy was on a journey. He was actually going somewhere on business, perhaps. Who knows? So then Jesus asked this lawyer a question. After hearing this parable of Jesus trying to throw, what a parable is, remember, it's a spiritual truth that's told in a story so the person hearing can understand it. So Jesus then said, hey, which of these three men proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell in the robber's hands. Well, the lawyer, he wasn't that stupid. But he said, the man who showed mercy. He could not even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. He couldn't say the word Samaritan because he still despised them, but he had to admit the Samaritan showed mercy. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for quite a while, but isn't it humbling when a non-Christian does something that is more Christian than you? I don't know about you, but that's a wake-up call. Whenever I have that happen in my life, you know, when somebody who is not even saved and following God, but then they do some act of kindness or some deed or something that just puts me to shame. That's when I know I need to up my game a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I need to be more sensitive to God and get involved in people's lives more. Because really, God's a people person, right? You know, I know sometimes we're introverts and you got your extroverts and them other kind of verts, whatever you are, we don't want to go there, right? But we want to know the fact that God wants us to be a kind of people person that draws people to Him, that shows Him the way to go, shows people the way to go. Because we're pointing to Jesus is all we're doing. Every good deed that we do, we should be pointing to Christ and not ourselves. And so that's the power of what the Good Samaritan did. So here, I'm just going to go a couple things here. You know, many ways the Samaritan was looked like Jesus. Number one, the Samaritan was an outsider. The Jews treated Jesus like an outsider, correct? They wouldn't accept him, even though he was the Son of God. Even though he came and he was preaching the good news and doing things, he was still considered an outsider. Just like the Samaritan, the Jews all despised him, and they despised Jesus from time to time. Number two, the Samaritan stepped in when no one else would, and that's what Jesus does. Jesus would step into people's lives that nobody else would want to help. You know, the lepers were shunned and they told to stay away, and Jesus would step into their lives and bring healing, and people who were cursed with demons and had demonic problems, and people would run from them and stay away from them, but Jesus stepped into their mess and he would set them free. He was the kind of person who would get involved with people that nobody else wanted to. He would run in when everybody else was running out. That's the kind of person we need to be. That's the kind of friend we need to be. That's the kind of neighbor we need to be. To be the kind of person that's going to run in when everybody else is running out. That's what God wants for our life. He was moved by compassion, as I said earlier. To me, compassion is not something you can self-generate. You know what I'm saying? You just can't say, compassion come. No. Compassion has to come from inside. And to me, when I hear the word compassion, means he really cared. He expressed want to love instead of have to love. Sometimes we express have to love, right? We love some people. Why? Because we have to. At least we're supposed to, right? But the kind of love that this is talking about is that he wanted to. And that's the compassion that Jesus Christ has for you and I. And that's the compassion that we should share to others around us. Not just Christians, but other people too. And lastly, he brought healing to a person who was broken. I don't know about you, but I know what brokenness is. And I know what Jesus does. Amen? Jesus, if you're broken, he can fix it. Just the way he created you. The Creator knows the way to fix the creation more than any other person. And we have to have trust in that He's going to do it. Now, to step on our toes a little bit, I have a couple times, but not too much. In what ways are we sometimes like the priest and the Levite? We are sometimes, be honest. We can get that way. Well, number one, we can be too busy to get involved in other people's messes. Matter of fact, I got my own mess. You know, why should I get involved in other people's messes? We're too busy. I don't have time. I got to go here and I got to go there. I got to do this. I got to do that. So I don't have time to step into this situation. Next, number two, maybe we think they deserve their problem. Anybody can think of somebody like that right now? Know somebody that you think deserves a problem because of choices they made? But sometimes we just got to look past those choices and just love them anyway, right? Love them anyway. Number three, prejudices hold us back from being a real neighbor. Sometimes we have prejudice in our life. That'll hold us back. We have preconceived ideas about somebody. And it doesn't have to be about race. It's just we all have different prejudices that we think about. You know, some people, you know, I'm prejudiced against Packers fans, Green Bay Packer fans. What can I say? I'm sorry. You know, I'm just kidding. I just lost some of the crowd. All right. Anyway, it's not that I think I'm better than them. I don't know. I never cared for that. And I kid around about it and stuff like that. I did some good jokes on my sister-in-law. One time she had her travel mug with her and, maybe I shouldn't tell this one, but anyway, I've already started. Anyway, she had her travel mug with her, and she's a big Packer fan. And I took some duct tape, and I cut it out, and I made a little circle with a line through it so it would say no Packers on her cup. And she was driving back from here to Wisconsin, and I think she caught it halfway back, you know, what I did. But no, it's just one of those deals, you know, but sometimes we have those prejudices. You know, I'd still help her, but anyway. And then lastly, being a Christian is only expressed at church or a Sunday thing. We can make that mistake. You know, we just be real Christ-like in here. I mean, fortunately, none of us speak thou or these here, right? Oh, thou looks nicest today. No, we don't do that. But, we have to see it so that it becomes an everyday thing. All right, we're going to wrap this up here. A couple quotes. Love steps into people's messes and helps them out. That's what love does. We just have to do that. And I'll be honest, just the fact that we're willing to step in, even if we can't totally fix everything, sometimes that just makes all the difference in somebody's life when they finally know they're not alone. Because we can get that way. We can feel all alone. True love has corresponding action. You know, just like faith does. Faith has corresponding action just as well as love has to have corresponding action. If we say we love somebody, we need to show them we love it. You know? Third, love is costly. It may cost us both time and money when we step into people's messes. That's just the way it is. Be prepared. And then lastly is, how can we say we love God without loving our neighbor also? And this is one that slaps me upside the face every now and then. It's kind of a gut check. You know, what does it really mean to love our neighbor? You know what it means to love God, at least I think I do. You know, I try to do so. But what does it mean to really love my neighbor, and what does that look like? Now, I, growing up, had great neighbors. I have good neighbors right now where we live, but when I was a kid, we farmed, and us and the neighbors, my dad and this man was best friends, and we would go help each other on the farm. This is part of being a good neighbor. I really saw that modeled in front of me, and I knew what it meant to be a good neighbor. But this is the kind of love that God wants us to do, to show our neighbor and the people around us, because when we do that, we're trying to draw people to Christ. So we need to try to locate ourselves in this story. That's what Jesus was trying to do to that lawyer. You know, was he the priest? Was he the Levite? Or was he the Good Samaritan? Now I pray that we become the Good Samaritan. Amen? Let's pray.